Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing in our city. Your host and Bible teacher is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel on Staten Island for 30 years. He's also the co-founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We hope that you will be blessed by today's message. We'd also like to bless you by providing you with a tool to share Christ with your neighbors and friends. We'd like to send you a bundle of 10 evangelistic tracts we use at Calvary Chapel. Included in this bundle are two tracts Pastor Dave has personally written, Good with God and My Winning Choice, which is his personal testimony. The tracts are yours by simply calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. When calling, please consider making a donation to God in Our City. We are a listener-supported program. You can also support us by going to calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and clicking the donate button where you'll find an option to support this ministry. Your support is greatly appreciated. Now to our broadcast.
If you just joined us from the radio, we think Jesus is coming back. Remain standing. Jay, what's the welcome song today?
Lion and the Lamb.
Lion and the Lamb. Shake hands with at least two people you didn't come with. Smile at them. Wish them a happy new year as Jay and the Seam sing Lion and the Lamb.
His blood breaks the chains.
Every knee will bow before the Lion. Amen. Who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Sin of the world, His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee,
let's sing it again. Our God is the Lion, yeah.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before Him. Every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh.
You may be seated, but you'll stand again in a minute. This is kind of like an aerobics class today. Speaking of followers of the Lion and the Lamb, some call him pastor, some call him teacher, some call him evangelist, some call him counselor. I just call him friend. Pastor Paul Schooling comes, lead us in our scripture reading today.
Thank you, friend. Pastor, teacher, evangelist, doctor. Good morning. Please stand with me. We're going to read Romans 11:33 through 12:2. I think we're up to it, right? All right. Oh, the depth and the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern with the will of God what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into this new year, we know that nothing is new in your eyes. Our Creator, our Savior, our King. But Lord, we know that we live in perilous times. Times that are in upheaval, it seems like every day. And Lord, through that, we ask that you would protect us, lead us and guide us, that you would protect our president. Lord, as he makes decisions that would be best for our nation. Lord, protect our military, as they serve all over the world. Keep them safe. Uphold them, Lord God. And may they represent you well. Lord, a new year, a new opportunity. We rejoice in that. Lord, we pray that as we continue to worship and as we're able to sit again under the preaching and teaching of your word, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In your holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated for now.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. For you never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. You never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. You're still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again.
Jesus, you're still in on.
Jesus, you're still in on. Keep me within your love. Heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
I'm still in your hands.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me
confidence. You never failed me yet.
You never failed me yet. I never will forget. You never failed me yet. The splendor of a king. Come on, sing with me. Clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself,
he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles as a voice. Trembles at his voice.
How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
H to H. Sing, how great is our God?
How great is our God?
Yes, sing to him.
Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Name above all names.
You're the name. Our God, and all will see how great is our God.
How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how.
Can we take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes? In this quietness, in this moment, would you just right now ask for God's protection for our city? That God would just watch over us during this time of uncertainty, time of difficulty, that He will be our protector. Just pray for our first responders and those involved in protecting us, that you'll strengthen them and encourage them, help them to do their job. Would you just pray right now, as we enter this new year, that the Lord would just do whatever he has to in all of our lives to help us to become the people we're supposed to be? Would you give him permission to work in your heart today? He's king, you know, but he's not rude. So will you just give him permission to do the things in your heart and in my life that need to be done? Lord, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for your presence in us. Please, Lord, help us to listen to you. You have spoken. Help us, Lord, to follow, Lord, what you tell us to follow. Help us to respond to you today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, the theme of our first 7 weeks of the new year is hashtag 20/20 vision at 2020. Yeah, try and, you know, at least it'll play well. You know what I'm saying? You can put it on a screen well. It works well on Twitter. But really, we're going to examine our spiritual eyesight. How do we see things? How does God see things? And how should we see things? And today we're gonna talk about what I think is an interesting topic. I call it glaucoma of the soul. Glaucoma of the soul. How many of you have heard of glaucoma? Well, glaucoma is a serious, very serious eye condition that initially limits the individual's field of vision, and if not caught early, results in not just a loss of field of vision, loss of vision, period. You don't want glaucoma. The soul is the immaterial part of us that controls our choices and our behaviors. It's who we are. So glaucoma of the soul is that when you have a limited vision of what God wants, your vision of what God wants is different than what God actually, in fact, wants. No eye disease, you see the world like this. Glaucoma, you see the vision is field is limited. Cataracts, the vision's field is actually blurred. Glaucoma vision simulator here is, you know, there's regular vision, there's vision with glaucoma's vision. Now, just to see if you have spiritual glaucoma today, I have an eye test. You're happy for that, right? How many of you have taken an eye test recently? Yeah, I really don't like them. I always leave with a headache. So here's today's spiritual eye exam. All right, let's read the top line together, M. Let's read the second line together, Y, F. Let's read the third line together, I-E-L. All right, we're on the fourth line now. Be grateful I didn't make you do the hand things, right? I didn't say, tell me when the ball is over. I didn't do that. What line are we on? D-O-F-V. Wow. All right, read the line, the last line that you can read. Go ahead and read it. Wow. Hey, let's see if we can read the whole thing together, all right? My field of vision is so limited, all I can see most times is me and me alone. That's what happens when you have spiritual glaucoma. We're going to begin in an interesting location here. We had Pastor Paul Schooling read some, I thought were important verses from the book of Romans, the 11th chapter, the 33rd through 36th verses. Don't worry about it, she's okay. Romans chapter 11, 33 through 36, and it lets us know a couple of things. First of all, God knows how much? Everything. How much does God know? Everything. We're fond of saying God is good all the time. God is good. But we can say it this way as well. God knows what? Everything. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. God knows everything. And the depth of how well he knows everything is beyond our comprehension. You can't figure out how much God knows and how deep God knows. When you know another person, Pastor Schooling and Louisa are celebrating on the same day, their anniversary today. How many years have you been married? How many? St. Louisa, yes, 46 years. And they've known each other a little longer than that, but the truth be told, they will always have more to know of each other. God knows all of us completely. Nothing's going to surprise him. There's nothing more. He knows us that well. But watch this. God doesn't just know everything. God owes nothing. Romans 11:34 says it this way. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? The answer is no one. So God doesn't owe anybody, you know, something back because you gave him some good counsel. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? God doesn't owe anybody anything. And he doesn't, watch this, he doesn't even owe you and I an explanation. Uh-oh. Remember Job? Job wanted an explanation. Job said, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have an interview and he's got some explaining to do. When he got before God, God said, hey, Job, where were you when I made all this? Job was like, oh, well, if I told you everything, what could you do? Nothing. All right. Now, God is kind enough sometimes to explain himself to us, but he doesn't owe us an explanation. Don't get an attitude. Say, God owes me. God doesn't owe you nothing. Always remember that. And then God is owed everything. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. From him are all things. He's the source. Through him are all things. He's the means. To him are all things. He's the goal. Amen. Bulletin. It's about God. I thought it was about me. It's not about me. It's about God. The last thing I want to focus on is this last thought. To him be glory. The Greek word here is doxa. We get our word doxology from this word. And it is not simply our words. It's our lives. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I have obviously been thinking about this for a while. So I began to do a study of the concept of glorifying God in the Bible. Good book, right? It might have something to say about that. And I was really almost flabbergasted with how much it has to say about it. I can't cover all of it today. It would be a couple of months series. But we'll do it in 10 minutes. You know, let's see. We'll take the abridged edition. What about glorifying God in Scripture? Well, the Hebrew word is kabed, weighty, above all, honor and glory are due God, as repeatedly commanded in the biblical text. We'll see Proverbs 3:9 in a minute. Honor the Lord or glorify the Lord with your substance. Another Hebrew word is tiferet, which uses the idea of the rank of God because of his inherent beauty. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And then the Hebrew word sabah has the idea of speaking it, being exuberant, statements as to the existence of someone's greatness. We'll see a couple of those in a minute. In the New Testament, the the Greek word, like we said before, is doxa, or the verb is doxazo, and it means to speak of something as being unusually fine and deserving honor. And we speak of this with reference to God. As you work your way through the Bible, here's the thing you will be amazed at, is that at every turn, it's about you and I, it's about everything glorifying God. Everything. The creation is all about glorifying God. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." The creation is about glorifying God. The nations will be about glorifying God. Not princes, not kings, not premiers, not presidents. The nations will be about glorifying God. Psalm 119:1 says, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples." Psalm 86, verse 9, "All nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall" what? "Glorify your name." The creation is all about glorifying God. The nations are all about glorifying God. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is all about glorifying God. If you look at the totality of Jesus' life, it has a theme: the glory of God. Through his birth in Luke 2:20, we just came through the Christmas season, the shepherds, when they saw the baby in a manger, it says the shepherds returned doing what? Glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. In Jesus' ministry, what was his theme? Blind Bartimaeus. He heals Bartimaeus as he's at Jericho. What does it say? "And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him." What did Bartimaeus do? Glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. In Luke chapter 5, there's a guy who's bedbound. They actually lower him from the roof of the house down before Jesus. And what happens? Jesus heals him, and immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home. What's the next words? Glorifying God. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 7, verse 16. After Jesus does some healing, fear seized them all, and they what? Glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." In fact, throughout his life, this was the theme. John 17:4, Jesus says at the end of his life, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." In his death, what does Jesus do? He glorifies God. Anticipating that death, in John chapter 12, verse 28 and 31 and 32, he said, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." And Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Speaking of his death, his resurrection. Philippians, the second chapter. We know these verses, verses 9 through 11. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." What's the next phrase? "To the glory of God the Father." This is going to hurt. Our salvation is about glorifying God. "I thought it was to keep me out of hell." Well, yes, it's to keep you out of hell for the glory of God. In Jude verses 24 and 25, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only wise God," what's the next word? "Our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be" what? "Glory." The church is all about glorifying God. "I thought the church was the place we came. We felt warm. We were encouraged. It's really cool." What does Paul say? He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory." What's the next phrase? "In the" what? "Church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You mean the reason the church is here is to glorify God? Yep. You mean the reason that I'm saved is to glorify God? Yep.
The reason we have a creation is to glorify God? Yep. The reason for the nations is to glorify God? Yep. The reason Jesus came is to glorify God? Yep. How about answered prayer? You know, you're begging for something from God, and you go, you know, God's just been so good to me. He must really, really like me. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. That's another subject. But John 14, 13 through 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Why? That the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. How about when God meets our financial needs? Wow. We pray and then God meets those needs. What does Paul say? He says, and my God will supply what? Every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then look at the next phrase. To our God and Father be what? Glory forever and ever. Amen. Spiritual fruit. That those traits, those qualities that we produce, what's it about? John chapter 15, verse 8. By this, Jesus says, my Father is what? Glorified. That you bear much fruit, and so you prove to be my disciples. Philippians 1, 10 through 11 says almost the same thing. So that you may approve what is excellent, so you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the what? Glory and praise of God. Have I proven my point? Our Christian life is all about doing what? Glorifying God. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to what? The glory of God. Our stewardship is about the glory of God. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor, that's that word glory. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. 1 Peter 4:10 talks about your spiritual gifts. Talks about using the gifts. Why do we use our gifts? Why do we do them? That in order that in everything God may be what? Glorified. To him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what heaven's about? I bet you can guess. Heaven is about what? The glory of God. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive what? Honor. And receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We are here to glorify God. Heaven is about glorifying God. God is the only being in the universe who has the right to be glorified. I mean, I start my 31st year here. What I would like for you guys to do next week is if everyone could come in with signs and maybe get a little jig thing going. Greatest Watson of Staten Island. Greatest Watson of Staten Island. Kind of move to it. Come on in. I would hope you would think, what are you, stupid? You don't deserve that. God deserves not a little of the glory, but all of the glory. And when he's glorified, it brings the whole universe into right order. Here's a crazy thought, that God will not share this position with any other person or thing. Isaiah 42:8 says it this way, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. God is right to be jealous about his glory, and he does not share that with anyone. There was a guy named Herod, one of the Herods, who was pretty arrogant, and he got in a little tiff with the people of Tyre. Watch what happened. The people of Tyre wanted to make nice to him. So on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. I am sure it was boring. That's not in the text, by the way. And the people were shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Immediately, the angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not what? Give God what? The what? Glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Well, as I've thought about this, I've asked this simple question. What, What does it really mean to glorify our God? So maybe this definition works for you. See if this is helpful. As part of God's creation and new creation, we, God's people, should strive to reflect the truth that the Lord God, El Elyon, the Most High God, owns the absolute highest position in the universe and in our hearts, worthy of our highest praise and our deepest what? Commitment. See, to glorify God goes beyond me saying, "You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy." It's more than that. It's me living out, "You are worthy." John Piper, when he was addressing a crowd of college students in Atlanta, said it this way: glorifying God means feeling and thinking and acting in ways that reflect His greatness and make much of God, that give evidence of the supreme greatness of all His attributes and all satisfying beauty of His manifold perfections. That is, glorifying God as the ultimate, absolute, all-pervasive reason for being everything we are and doing everything we do. As I thought about this, what came to bother me was Romans 12, verse 1. And a word within that verse bothered me. I appeal to you, what's the next word? Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, watch this. Therefore, because of what Romans 11:36 says, Romans 11:36 says, to him be what? Glory. When you give someone glory, you're worshiping them. How do you worship someone? In the Old Testament, they worshiped with physical sacrifices. How do we worship? With a sacrifice. The sacrifice of ourselves by presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's what it means to give Him glory. A living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Note the language of sacrifice. Philippians 2:17, Paul says it this way: even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Paul saw himself as one who was trying to glorify God and was a living sacrifice. He'll say something similar in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure has come. For me to glorify God requires that I offer to Him the sacrifice of the most important person in the universe to me. Me. Holy, completely, unconditionally. That is my spiritual worship. I'm going to share a video with you. I hope that it's actually just an audio. Blesses you. I've talked to you about Andrew Brunson before, but when I heard this interview back in October, it kind of slapped me in the face. I don't have that happen very often. And I was moved by it. So I downloaded it, and here's the last part of it. I hope you'll understand it.
It's grace. And with this song, for example, I had just been called into a court session where I was told that basically I had 3 aggravated life sentences, life in solitary confinement without parole, that this is what they wanted for me. And this really knocked me down. I had been focusing myself on God, making that decision. I'm going to every day just focus myself on God and to hold on to Him. And this knocked me out. But then I got up again. I said, I need to run after God. I need to grab onto Him. If I lose my spiritual life, if I lose my relationship with God, I've lost everything. And this is when I wrote this song. So it was just coming from my heart, and I'm thinking of the grief, the thought of being separated from my wife for the rest of my life, of not seeing my children again. And what came out is, but you're worthy of this. You're worthy of my all. You're worthy, worthy of my all. My tears and pain I lift up as an offering. Teach me to share in the fellowship of your suffering. You know, Lamb of God, you're worthy of my all.
That's hard to do.
There's another verse that says, I want to be found worthy to stand before you on that day with no regrets from cowardice, things left undone. And this is what began to drive me. I thought, someday I'm going to stand before Jesus. And I don't want to stand before him with regrets when he says, Andrew, this is what I wanted to do through you. These are the assignments I had for you. And you walked away from them because you were afraid. And I began to focus in on living for the day when I will stand before Jesus. And saying, Lord, if this is your assignment for me, if being in prison is your assignment that you have for me, then I want to, it's hard for me to embrace it. I don't want to be in prison. But I want to be willing to serve you in this way. And to accept that assignment. So this is what I started to do every day, is fight towards that point. It's grace.
Wow. So my question today is, what is my assignment? I'll leave here today, and I have the wonderful privilege of going to Seaview. And we'll be there sharing with the folks in a nursing home. Almost all of them are wheelchair bound for the rest of their life. So what's their assignment? Be happy. Find joy. Their assignment is to glorify God. You don't have to like the assignment, but the assignment is to glorify God in the assignment. For some of us, the assignment surprised us. We didn't think the words would ever be spoken of us. And we don't like the gig. But even in the midst of that, we need to glorify God. That's how it works. Don't I get to question God about it? Don't I get a say in it? Even if you knew all of God's reasons, what could you do? And if the way he thinks is so much deeper than the way you and I think, could you really understand that? What was the old saying? If I tell you, I have to kill you. I think if God said, if I tell you, it's going to kill you. About the time I was hearing all this, I was running through Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. And this one punched me in the stomach. When it talks about glorifying God, it said, this should be the single desire of the Christian. All other wishes must be subservient and serve as tributaries to this. The Christian may wish for prosperity in his business, but only in so much as it may help him to promote this. To him be glory forever. He may desire to attain riches or gifts and more graces, but it should only be that he may declare, to him be glory forever. You are not acting as you ought to when you are moved by any other motive than a single focus on the Lord's glory. We think of life as a pursuit of happiness, a pursuit of pleasures, a pursuit of peace, a pursuit of security. But in reality, none of those things is guaranteed to us. And in chasing them, often that's all we do is chase. We just chase. So the question today is, for whom or for what am I living? I found a video from a very famous trio that I thought would help us in this. So I want to share something from the Angry Birds.
This is the wrong mountain.
My calves are killing me.
Ugh.
So what did they find when they got to that mountain? It was the wrong mountain. If I am chasing anything else but the glory of God, I'm climbing the wrong mountain. There's another way of saying that. I'm wasting my life. I'm wasting my life. Somebody gave me this really cool Bible that has all the confessions of the faith in it. And the Westminster Confession, the shorter version, says the following. It has questions and answers. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God. And to enjoy him forever. You know where you'll find joy? You know where you'll find peace? You know where you'll find fulfillment? Do you know where you'll find all those things that you desperately want? Glorifying God. But you have to take your hand off your life and give it to him. You will never find those things that you're chasing, ever. Ask the people who have all the money, what do you want? More? How much of our life, the happiness we have, is just temporary? What is your assignment? Oh, what is my assignment? I understand. You may not like it. It may have words that you never thought your word would be sufferer. Or caretaker. You never thought those would be your words. But that's the assignment. So what do you do in the assignment? You glorify God. You glorify God. You glorify God by giving yourself wholly and completely and unreservedly to him. We're going to call this the day of the video. I ran into Brunson's song he was referencing in his interview, on the internet, the vocals of it. And sometimes I make our folks, I beg them at the last minute to do something. I said I wouldn't do it this time. I would just play the video of it with the words. But it's poignant. It's powerful. Because it was written in the middle of his suffering. And what he was saying is just so over the top. You are worthy of my going through this and giving you my everything. You are worthy of that. It's not like I got chipped. It's not like I got ripped off. What I'm doing in going through this is I'm expressing to you that you are worthy. I'm glorifying you even when it hurts. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table in just a minute, and our leaders and ushers are going to make their way forward during this song. But I just want you to listen to it. If you choose to sing along with it, that's okay. It's very powerful to me, and it expresses this beautiful concept that God is worthy of all the glory, and that's what should come out of me.
Thanks for listening to God in Our City. If this program was a blessing to you, please tell a friend and encourage them to listen in to the next broadcast. Again, we would like to bless you with a tool to share Jesus Christ with your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Our bundle of 10 evangelistic tracts is yours by simply calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Please remember, we are a listener-supported broadcast, and consider giving a gift when you call. You can also support us by going to calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. and clicking the donate button, where you'll find an option to support this ministry. Please don't miss our live Sunday morning broadcast, heard each week from 11:30 to 12:30, right here on AM 570, The Mission WMCA. In addition, we'd love to have you visit us in person. Calvary Chapel is located on the north shore of Staten Island at 30 Maple Parkway. Until next time, may our great God continue to richly bless you as you seek to serve Him.